evening, and welcome to Hutton Orbital Live. And do we have a meaty one for you this week? I'm Amelia Hawke, and I'm looking forward to getting my teeth into this week's headlines.
Ooh, roasted or fried? I'm the apology officer.
Well, some of us prefer ours well seasoned.
If I'd said that about you, I'd have been panned.
And as tonight's tech, the only way for this show is well done. And on that note, it's time for the headlines. Interdictions strike unlucky truckers.
LCU no longer gone, as Stargoid say, please take him back.
Too hot, too messy, update.
Archaeologists uncover pristine latrine.
Scientists unveil latest, no bioway Sherlock theory.
Hanky in shock after duck attack.
And all the latest BGS news around Hutton Space. Hutton, not just a place, a state of mind. If you're a trucker, you subscribe to some of the best principles in the galaxy. You're silly, you do the difficult stuff because it's there, you agree to the number one rule, be excellent to each other, and, of course, you're all about the letter W. You don't like the letter V. What we mean is the little W, the one in the middle of the initialism, PWP. That's pilot with pilot. The V of versus is banned, except by mutual consent, of course, in the name of fun. But the W, now that is an important letter. No more important is the little W than when the Hutton truckers get together. Not chatting via the magic of interstellar comms, or in a wing attacking a planet-sized settlement with flossy-fired fiery munitions going off behind your head, and Rampage running around with a taser shouting, sleepy time, at the scavengers before giving them a little nap, but in person. As is traditional at this time of year, down on old Earth, a group of Hutton truckers gather at their favourite restaurant in the north, but not as north as North Britain north, for a meeting with Alvin. This isn't a very serious meeting. It's Alvin's chance to catch up with a few truckers, catch a few belly rubs, meet his adoring public, who can't help themselves and often forget the etiquette and going straight in for the belly rub without making the correct overtures to his aide Snoz first. And of course, indulge in a Hutton meet. With the Federation having shut down Hutton's previous favourite North, but not as North as North Britain North, meeting meet just over a year ago, Commanders Vantayun, Snoz, NEMB and her very metal chaperone Ed Hunter, Rampage, Lithobreaker, Deadmeat GF and the Infinite Dreamer made their way to the backup location, a secret restaurant where, rumour has it, they serve only the finest Witch Hall Kobe beef. Eager and salivating, the team set off for their rendezvous with Dog, only to find the first plaintive message to come across. Commander Deadmeat hadn't taken into account his rather large notoriety with the Federation, and on undocking from his point of origin and attempting to perform a three-point turn, realised that someone had stuffed a potato up his starboard thruster. And, as we all know, a potato up the thruster is a surefire way to spoil your day. His ship coughed once, there was a faint smell of chips, and it ploughed into a wall. Not gonna make it, guys. Federal saboteurs. Q calling the top secret restaurant to let them know to switch from giant pampered bovine to merely large pampered bovine. Then Commander Infinite Dreamer came on over the comms. I've got a bit of a problem. It turns out that the Epic Trucker that had it accidentally been shipping meds in to help alleviate an outbreak and accidentally exposed himself. This led to an inquiry and tests and probing. And they determined that he was most definitely, probably, maybe, carrying a plague. Not the plague, but a plague of unspecified virulence. However, they were probably sure that it was contagious, and were almost certainly unsure that it affected spaniels. But it might. Dr. Don Not Antonacci, and that's a suspicious name, declared that he'd have to quarantine himself and was not allowed near spaniels of any variety for at least a week, even Momus Bog Spaniels. Despite suspecting that the troublemaker was a Komori mafia and not a real doctor, and his stethoscope looked like it was from a kid's playset, better safe than sorry. So the Infinite Dreamer locked himself in his room, as one does not expose Alva to danger without a very good reason. Suffice to say, the remainder of the North, but not as North as North Britain North meet, didn't have the heart to tell the restaurant that we're another trucker short, so girded their loins and left the menu at one large bovine, which, to the credit of the restaurant, was delicious.
He's back, and as it turns out, LCU is none the worse for wear after his kidnapping during the Pilots Federation broadcast. He was found by Canon scientists floating in deep space somewhere in the path of one of the Stargoids with a note pinned to his spacesuit. Please take him back. We don't want him. We made a mistake. We're sorry. Never send him back. After defrosting LCU and giving him what few of his marbles could be found in his luggage back to him, medical teams decided that he was none the worse for wear for his ordeal, but he really couldn't remember what had happened over the previous week. He was suffering from a lack of vitamin D, but that's normal for a no-fool like one, as outdoors is a place that few kind of scientists ever see, eschewing field trips for the most part for the comfort of their labs. His DNA appeared to at some point have been unravelled, put through a spin dryer, and then stuck back together again, and at least two of his teeth had been replaced with near-perfect replicas, but as far as they could tell, he was still LCU and still vaguely human and incorrigible as ever. The final proof that he was actually him was when they asked how he had escaped. That bit he did remember. By singing. At which point he gave them an example, and the entire medical team had to be admitted to the wing where they've got the good drugs, padded walls and soft lighting. Only one man in the universe can butcher "Oops, I did it again," quite like an LCU, and only one man could do it in a little pink number with fluffy edges while smiling coquettishly like the man himself.
Too Hot, Too Messy has now been going for 14 whole weeks. That's almost two whole prime ministers! If anyone out there listening still doesn't know what Too Hot, Too Messy is, then stay tuned and prepare to be amazed. As it's the Hutton-led initiative to deliver Hutton mugs and Centauri Megagen to every single station in the galaxy. This week, Commanders smashed through the 34,000 deliveries barrier, with over 1,300 deliveries of both mugs and gin in week 13. Now that's good, but still down on the almost 2,000 we've been seeing in the previous few weeks. So please, keep trucking and keep the momentum going. Remember, every mug counts, and there's even a real mug on offer that might just be yours if you take part. Two more commanders joined the effort this week, taking the total to 224 pilots spread across 74 squadrons. And of course, more are always welcome. Naturally, Hutton is blazing away at the head of the squadron leaderboard and have a collective tally of over 14,500 deliveries. The Winged Hussars are in second and have passed the 2,000 mark with over 1,900 muggings. And the Paladins are still solidly in third with 1,371. That Shirker, who's not even here to defend himself, is still out in front with 3,000 mugs and gin mark, fading away in his rearview mirror. Some say that he likes to pretend he's the Stig. Chasing him down in the leaderboard, we have a change in second place, with Waller 81 moving past Nemb with 2,278, to Nemb's 2,250 now in third. Commander Mouse 8287 is still in fourth, but Infinite Dreamer is now only 140 behind in fifth. Five commanders have delivered more than 1,000 mugs, and well, how do we know all this, I hear you ask? Well, because it's tracked by the marvel that is the Hutton Helper and updated live on Too Hot, Too Messy event page at hot.forthemug.com/hot_mess_2. At this rate, we'll have delivered a canister of Hutton mugs and Centauri Megajin to every station in the galaxy by... Well, before the major future event, definitely. But we aren't going to speculate on a precise end date, as we're still finding more and more stations. The list is now closing in on 203,000. Well, of course, all of you would happily do this just for the glory. We don't feel that's enough. So we're also offering the additional incentive of a chance to win a real-world, gravity-assisted, mods-preventing Hutton mug that you can fill with tea, gin, or anything else that fits you as happily. Take Hutton mugs to where no Hutton mug has gone before. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in a week will be entered into that week's draw to win a real Hutton mug. Well, unless you already have one, of course. In which case, you'll have already been immunized against mods. And it doesn't need a booster. 13 commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commanders table. So keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit a little later in the show. Well, how do I join in the fun, I hear you ask? Well, first, you need to sign up for the Hutton Helper by following the instructions at hot.forthemug.com/download. And then your mug and gin deliveries will be lovingly tabulated for you by Antarius Fusion's marvelous mathematical hamsters.
Archaeologists at Hutton Orbital made a stunning discovery this week, hidden almost in plain sight. With Cubicle 3 and now cordoned off Cubicles 1 and 2, having gone down in Hutton and galactic legend as the most terrible place in the galaxy, but one people go to as quite simply there's nowhere else, when they've just flown an hour and 22 minutes each in a straight line with nothing but Bombay bad boy space noodles and a century-old tin of prunes, and you're busting. They discovered that Hutton actually has four facilities, and one of them appears to have been sealed and undisturbed for an awfully long time. Yes, Cubicle 4 exists. It has marble floors, wooden walls, shiny brass fittings. It has art deco mirrors and even a comfy sofa for those waiting their turn. There's a clean floral and aroma. The plumbing works and indeed is a work of art in its own right. And apparently the acoustics are perfect for budding barbershop quartets. Oh, and there's a barber station. In fact, it's as far removed from Cubicle 3 in terms of quality and style that station authorities immediately declared it unfit for truckers for fear that they'd spoil it. They declared it a faction treasure and declared it off-limits for actually doing a business in the hopes that they can drum up a little of the other business, the tourist kind. Cubicle 4, the place you go where you can't actually go. The washroom that never needs clearing and the only place in the station where floor mopping guy is never actually needed. The only special dispensation is for the station's official barbershop quartet. They're allowed to stand in the middle and blast out a 34th century version of I've Been Everywhere, except, of course, Cubicle 4.
In this week's totally unsurprising edition of Scientists Tell Us the Most Obvious Things, Galnet is full of articles stating that scientists have finally unscrambled the Thargoid Roar. You know, the one that happened after the big boo-boo in HIP the other month. So, let's rewind a second. Humanity designed a weapon that was to take out all the Thargoids. Or at least quite a lot. You know, in quite a large area around Ground Zero. Anyway, we set it off. There was a huge roar. Then the bio-waste hit the fan. Now, without the need for science, let's analyze the potential options. Imagine for a second you found a bear. Could be a space bear or a polar bear or a drop bear, but a bear. Let's say you've walked into its winter cave whilst it was hibernating and you've kicked it in the diddly doodads. Or at least where you think the space bear's diddly doodads are. Shortly after that, there would be a noise. Maybe two. But the big noise is the one we're concentrating on. If you were presented with the options of the translation being A, oh, hello there, nice to meet you, we've not met, I'm a bear. B, this porridge is too salty. Or C, come here, you son of a bitch, I'm going to rip your head off. Which one do you think would be the most likely? Or seeing a beehive, you hit it with a big stick. Is the aftermath likely going to be A, a couple of bees stick their heads out of the hive and wave politely? Or B, an angry buzzing noise followed by lots of ouch and probably a lot of lotion. Oh, and screaming. So, when scientists claim to have translated the Thargoid roar, they've managed to summarize three things after spotting giant swirly things coming in this direction. Number one, the roar is angry. Number two, it has done the galactic equivalent of called a few mates in to give us a proper shooing. And number three, the mates have replied to say, bring it on. Now, if anyone wasn't already clear about this, I mean, the Thargoids did smash all of our stuff, and there are 8 pieces of swirly doom heading our way. We yanked the bear's bristly beard whilst it was sleeping in its den. You do the arithmetic. Trust us, you don't need a PhD in xenolinguistics.
Royalty. The galaxy is full of it. Kings and lords and barons and earls. Flying through imperial space, it appears that just about everyone has a title, whether inherited or earned, or in a very few cases, appointed, sometimes by themselves. You're simply not allowed to be imperial unless you've got a title, some land, some gold braid, a lot of skeletons in your closet, and of course understanding that real orgies involve cheese. King Hanky of Colonia, first of his name and many times cloned, seems to have come a bit of a cropper this week after a bit of an error. One of his assistant clones sent him a message that there was a duke hunting for him. Hanky, always eager to be recognised by fellow title holders, promptly rolled out the red carpet, got out the best china and crystal, and even ironed his shirt. Whilst waiting in the arboretum over at Fort Mug, okay, it only has one tree and a small shrubbery, but only on one level. He was rather startled when the security team ran past him, screaming. Alarms went off, there was much consternation. It turns out that the clone that warned him that has one small failing, spelling. What he meant to say was that one of the feral inbred Hutton ducks was on the loose. Fearsome creatures with terrible tempers, and yes, it had his scent and was on the hunt for hanky flesh. Needless to say, after swift application of a terrified scream and clobbering, it was one of the station chairs. He has asked the chef to serve him duck à l'orange.
In the BGS this week, we have a whole basket of states. We have two wars going on. Two! The first is in Stein 2051, where we are currently 2-1 up, and the second is in, you guessed it, AVIC. But it's not serious. This time it's the EDF. I'm sure there's an electricity joke in there somewhere. That one's currently at 1-1, so. Stein has on foot and space combat zones, but AVIC only has space. In other goings on, there's an outbreak in LHS 340, but it's not too much of a concern. There are also pending outbreaks in Epsilon Indy and Narnia. Haghole is pending expansion. Again, I'm sure there's a joke in there somewhere, but we'll let the listeners work that one out for themselves. So at the end of the week, there should be many more mugs and gin for sale, with a little luck. So to sum it up, please fight for Hutton in Stein and AVIC, or if you prefer trucking, send meds to LHS 340.